Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
You know, I completely forgot to mention the conversation I had this past weekend. And as a matter of fact, there's no reason why I didn't mention it yesterday, because it just happened last weekend. I had a very good, long conversation with a group of people that are basically doing something that is very similar with what I see with other organizations. And NLA is doing something similar, and there are other ones. Now, some are really focused more towards the, you know, the true essence of the constitutional county, like this organization I just spoke to from Minnesota. And there are others that are trying to go back in time before the Constitution and creating organizations that were more modeled after each state being a part of the British Kingdom. And so, you know, like committees of safety, because committees of safety was a prior to the Constitution, prior to the Republic and the Union forming. And so, because once the Constitution was formed, we really didn't have committees of safety. We didn't. I mean, committees of safety was transposed into state legislators and so forth. And so, if you really start doing the history, one of the things that, you know, people can lose sight of is where were we when we, you know, when these types of entities existed? Was this prior to the Constitution or after the Constitution? Because we created a Republican form of government. You know, I tell people that when you look at the framers, they had a convention. They sent delegates, you know, regarding Congress. Congress would send their, you know, their assistant, their aide, out to meet in a convention with others to determine what they were going to do for breakfast or lunch or dinner. I mean, you know, they used representation in almost every aspect that they possibly could, because they didn't want to move this society towards a democracy. They understood tyranny by the majority and being able to keep that from happening. Now, a lot of people look at politics, and bottom line, politics itself is the compromising of principles and so forth, but there's no ability to compromise what's in that Constitution and what isn't in the Constitution. And that's the problem, because politicians think, oh, well, we can compromise our way into anything. No, you can't. And that's why we read the ratification debates. That's why we go through the Constitution. So anyway, let me kind of wrap up, because that's what I want to do. I want to wrap up and kind of go through the rest of this Bill of Rights. And if you think we're missing something, by all means, let us know. We want a comprehensive and inclusive Bill of Rights for the 21st century. We want people to have, and we want our public servants, more importantly, to understand we want our rights protected. They take an oath to support the Constitution. In other words, they take an oath to ensure our rights are being protected every day of the week. There's no point in time where they can compromise our rights, as we've been seeing over these past few decades, especially this past year plus. It's been put on, a compromise of our rights has been put on steroids, because the Democrats think that they've got a mandate because they've been voted into office and now we don't have to follow the Constitution. No, I'm sorry. We have to follow the Constitution to the letter, regardless of who's elected. It doesn't matter. This is why we've all been duped by the two-party system. I'm telling you, the Republicans, if you're in a dark red state, you probably do have a decent Republican model. But most of the time, in most states, the Republicans are just equally as corrupt. I can tell you, Washington State, the leadership in Washington State for the Republican Party is a corrupt entity. They had an opportunity last year to actually guarantee to get rid of Inslee, and they didn't do anything. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about the tyranny from Inslee. What they care about is, as long as they're willing to make up the compromises, they'll get whatever little ground they're being given, and they'll, you know, hopefully win back, but they don't want to do it on principles of the Constitution, because that opens the door to everybody having to be held accountable. Anyway, this show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions. You're going to love it when we get to the 14th Amendment. I've taken an excerpt out of Professor Kurt Lash's three-part thesis on the Privileges and Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment. So when we get to the 14th Amendment, I've got a little three-pager, about 2.5 pages, and it will blow you away. Anybody that tells you that the 14th Amendment is illegitimate, they are working in a biased petri dish, and they're basically growing on themselves. Anyway, Timber Nation, if you're looking for good furniture, good, solid, hardwood furniture, TimberNation.com. Radio dust covers. If you're looking for covers for your audio equipment, these companies are not paying me to endorse these products. I just tell you, these are good, patriotic people that are providing a good product and a good service at a reasonable price, and that's better than buying it from China, and you're buying it from an American patriotic family-ran business, so you're doing a good thing. And RadioDustCovers.com is where you want to go, and add local for your email services and ISP services. You got a domain, you've got email and so forth, go to add local. They will help you, and they will give you a patriotic break on your email services. I mean, we have an ad running, so utilize that until he calls me up and says, Ben says, hey, GR, you need to pull that ad. I can't afford to do $10 for a first 1,000 addresses or what have you. Anyway, what we want to do is we want to support these patriotic companies. And oh, by the way, with AdLocal, you will not be deplatformed. In other words, you know, GoDaddy or WordPress or whomever, they will not remove you from, you know, their support. They won't just kick you out and all of a sudden you're down. That's what happened to Conservative Treehouse and other organizations have been deplatformed from Amazon and what have you. So anyway, Red Pill Expo, that's coming up in Louisiana. We want to see you there the first weekend of November, and as soon as we get a little closer, we'll be able to tell you who's speaking, what they're doing, and why. We also want to tell you about the Patriots being targeted, and this is directly from, I believe it's the Homeland Security. Let me take a quick look at it. Yep, DHS.gov. This is their bulletin that they sent out, and why and who they're targeting. Anyway, 425-270-5416, that is the comment line. Now, we were leaving off with debtor's prison and bankruptcy laws, and I kind of threw it out there that we wanted to restore public utilities. That means your water utilities, that means your electrical utilities. It needs to be moved back into the states, and states actually need to start sharing, you know, where, you know, just like counties. Some counties can't afford to have their own prisons, so they should be able to. If you want to say, you know, timeshare or be able to, you know, go to the near county that has a large population, already has one, and pay for, you know, a few of the cells or for refurbishment or an enhancement or a growth of that so that they can, you know, kind of put all their eggs, you know, all the different counties can put all their bad eggs in one penitentiary, if you know what I mean. And that way you can cut down your cost. It'll cut down the cost for the host county as well as all the other counties. It's cheaper by the dozen. And this is where your marginal costs start really helping you bring down your costs as well as, you know, being able to accommodate the growth in crime. Because bottom line, if we don't treat crime as a crime, and we keep on letting people just get away with it, then it is going to get worse and worse, and our property rights and our lives mean far less and less and less. So don't be surprised This is why many people are leaving California, because their life and property means nothing to the state and to any local government. Anyway, what we also want to do is we also want to have candidate and public servant accountability. It needs to be illegal for a candidate and or a public servant to get out and campaign on buying votes. In other words, like what Obama did, you vote for me, we're going to give you health care. If they're making a promise of doing something that's not within the Constitution and they actually violate the Constitution, they need to be held accountable. As far as I'm concerned, Obama committed treason just by Obamacare alone. He outright created a usurped states' rights and had no authority to do so. It doesn't matter. If Eisenhower did this too, we should dig him up and burn him in effigy. All of these politicians who have been buying votes and going down this path of placating people by giving them something they want that's not within the Constitution is a crime. It's a crime. It's treason. And so we got to make it so that it's illegal and we actually bring it right out. Because historically, and everybody knows, you can't buy drinks for, you know, and have a rally and have your precinct right there next to a bar. You can't be providing alcohol on election day to people to, you know, basically get their votes. What's the difference between that and ballot harvesting? What's the difference? There is no difference. We have to shut down all of these types of things. If a person's not going to make it to the polls at all, then that person is sending their vote by not voting. We cannot allow ballot harvesting. That has got to be one of the big... That's along with basically buying votes. What do you think they're doing when they're going door to door and saying, we want your vote? Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so it needs to be made illegal in every state. We already can't buy alcohol to buy votes, but you shouldn't be able to use services to buy votes, especially when those services are not within the enumerated powers. Got to be very clear here. People cannot just use the public purse and, you know, and get votes and then be expected to be able, well, I got the votes to do it. No, you have to amend the Constitution to do it. That's a whole different thing, because if you look at the popular vote you could kind of win with the popular vote and the way the Electoral College is set up and barely get over the wheel, or I should say barely get over the finish line. But to amend the Constitution, it requires three-fourths of the states. That's a completely different mandate, completely different. And we cannot let them utilize a democracy, because that's what they're doing. They're using democracy to actually influence the direction of government and violating the Constitution in doing so. This is repugnant in so many different ways. Candidates and public servants should not be able to campaign or speak to the electorate to buy votes by offering services or entitlements that are not enumerated within the Constitution. Political quid pro quo promises must be made illegal. It must be made illegal for parties or operatives for harvesting ballots as well. Shutting down the bully pulpit. This is the big part of this as well. Candidates and public servants cannot use demagoguery and fear mongering or doomsday predictions to actually be able to, you know, influence people to vote. And as a matter of fact, anybody that does so, and as a matter of fact, these doomsday predictions and these demagogueries, these fear mongering things, let's say, good example. Al Gore said that the world is going to die. The earth has a fever. And so it's going to die by a certain day. When they come and they actually start making scientific or religious predictions at the bully pulpit, when they inject that into their campaign, then they must be held fully accountable. As a matter of fact, why is it that Al Gore is not locked up for lying to the American people? Well, it was just exaggerations, or it was, you know, I was estimating. It doesn't matter. When you're speaking to the public in the capacity as a public servant or as a supposedly subject matter expert, because that's what you're asserting is a subject matter expert, that these things are going to happen. Everybody that does these things must be held accountable, so that when AOC's predictions, you know, always will fall short, fall flat, and become untrue, then she needs to be locked up for deceiving and using demagoguery to try to influence the public. It's the same thing as going into the theater and yelling fear, or not fear, fire, I'm sorry, but they both start with F and they're four letters. Anyway. Candidates and public servants cannot call upon people to protest as well. They can't use their pulpit to say, get out there and protest. As a matter of fact, any public servant that actually says, we've got a rally, we've got a protest, even Trump, unless you're talking about an assembly and a peaceful assembly in a peaceful area, if you're talking about taking it to the streets, violating law, then you must be held accountable. I don't think Trump necessarily violated the law, because I don't think he was on January 6th. I don't think he was calling for the 5th. No, it was the 6th. I don't think he was calling for people to necessarily mass in the streets. But it doesn't matter. Any public servant doesn't matter. Even the president should not be calling for civil unrest. They should be calling for people to use their First Amendment right of petition. Now, had Trump said, hey, I want everybody to go to Congress and use your First Amendment petition right. Guess what? That means that Congress and the doors would have been busted open and people would have demanded their access to Congress on the 6th of January. And guess what? It would have been constitutional and legal, because Congress cannot make any law that abridges that right. They can't lock the doors from the people. If Congress is there, they must be open and receptive, because the First Amendment right of the people is a protected right. See what happens when you start looking at things in context of the Constitution instead of looking at things the way the progressives want you to see it. Because it's okay when they protest, but you can't protest. Oh, shame on you. That was a terrible thing. I can't believe. It just bothers me to the core to hear these whiny police officers talking about how they love the Constitution and what they saw was so unconstitutional. These idiots. I'm sorry. They're morons. They're troglodytes. They're cave dwellers. anybody that does not understand the Constitution but wants to use it like they have, like it's this big noble defense that they're taking, oh my gosh. It's almost like using Christianity and the Bible to defend evil. It's just like the South and how the South used this biblical reference of being able to have slaves. Are you kidding me? I don't get it. But this is what we have to deal with, friends. And this is what we have to stop. We actually have to stop the rhetoric. We have to stop the demagoguery and fear-mongering. We have to draw the line. We have to demand people be held fully accountable. We cannot allow or let politicians make, you know, these promises that they're going to do. So they're going to violate the Constitution. Because you voted for me, I get to do it. No. I'm sorry. You still take an oath and you must be removed for treason and or for violating that oath, moral perjury, what have you. Now, the next thing is that we need a militia to enforce the enforcement of constitutional laws. We need to get rid of standing armies, and we need to demand that the militia be fully restored again, that the National Guard be disbanded, and that the militia be fully restored, that every county in every state has its apportionment, and that the men and women of those counties, they have an equal representation to match whatever is necessary by the standards of what Congress has called for, period. And every other enforcement agency is gone. Anyway, as we know, they're all unconstitutional anyway, but the whole point is we have to start restoring the militia, because if we don't restore the militia, when the federal government or when things start going south and we're not organized, you know, we're gonna rue the day, because we're going to be flapping and responding and so forth, and there's going to be a lot of problems. You know, when you look organized, then I'm telling you, you look like you know what you're doing, you're organized, then people are going to be, you know, they'll be far more hesitant to come into your area. Well, let's go over here, because it's just like burglars. It's just like criminals. That's how they think. Well, look, I mean, these guys all have security cameras throughout this neighborhood. We don't want to go there, because we don't want to be outed on social media. We don't want to be outed, you know, for committing these crimes, because they're going to have pictures of us. Let's go over here. And that's how they think. That's how they work. So this is why I'm going to return to what I've basically said before. I said this last year. If you have not had meetings in your neighborhood as to what you're going to do when mobs and protesters and civil unrest reaches your neighborhood, you better start having these conversations now. This goes right back to what I was talking about this weekend. I'll get into the details more on this precinct ward concept, because people start need to think about communities and your neighbors and so forth. I mean, a county is a very big place. There's lots of people in a county, but there's a far less people down at, and the sub element of all of our system goes down to precincts. And so anyway, the next Bill of Rights is non-peaceable assembly in the streets, sidewalks, or areas designated for commerce, and the protest must be outlawed and treated as barbarous treason. The Whiskey Rebellion was the first protest, and those who participated in it were tried for treason, and two were convicted of treason, period. Petitioning is a constitutional right, as I've been telling you, and the only process for people to engage government at any level, and government cannot constrain the people one bit from that right. Protesting and blocking access to commerce, religious worship, speech, peaceable assembly in areas designed for peaceable assembly. You can't just choose somebody's business for a peaceable assembly without their permission. You cannot just go in and do civil unrest. You know, I get it. You know, there was probably a need for, and, you know, we'll probably just put the civil rights area and those civil disobedience, that type of stuff, as a historical moniker. But those acts, those things that occurred in, you know, sit-downs were unconstitutional, because those people, those businesses, had a right to have commerce. Well, I do understand the rights of all people, and I do understand the civil rights, and I'd be one of the first ones to stand up and ensure that all people have equal rights under the law. But we can't violate the Constitution in that process. This is why we take the high road and demand the discourse and open dialogue to occur. Anyway, protesting and blocking access to commerce, religious worship, speech, peaceable assembly in areas again designated for assembly, such as parks, but not streets or sidewalks, violates the rights of others. Personal or property damage in any form cannot be tolerated and must be prosecuted at the fullest extent of the law. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so now we've got a couple more to go regarding peaceable assemblies, protests, and so forth. So we just covered personal property. Actually, just one more. People who become animals must either be educated to act otherwise. In other words, if they don't understand their illness of what they're doing and how they're acting as animals, and we have a civil society, then they need to be educated and given an opportunity. The next time they act and behave as an animal, they get violent and they do, you know, violent things like an animal would do, that or you know, a uncivilized person, then they need to be treated as such. In other words, that they're incapable of being civil, and just put them in a pen with, you know, without a toilet or what have you, just like you do a dog, and they can just crap and pee onto the floor and it'll just, you know, kind of get washed away, and treat them like animals, because bottom line, they don't deserve to be treated like human beings if they can't extend civility towards their fellow man. I believe we need to give them an opportunity and educate them. If they can't get it and they think it's okay, then they should be treated the way they behave, period. And as a matter of fact, I've talked about this before. Our penal system needs to be outsourced. We should not be controlling these these animals, we should actually be sending them out. Once we have tried them, they've reneged on all of their rights of society, as far as I'm concerned. Now, they have an opportunity to, you know, make things right. And if they actually be, I'm going to tell you, if you have an outsourced penal system, in other words, if all of a sudden these wretched people that are killing and doing these wretched things, then we send them out to South Korea. We send them out to, you know, some foreign nation to where if they get out, you know as well as I do, they probably won't be speaking the land or the language of the land if we send them somewhere, Swahili or something else. And I'm okay with doing it to where you send whites to, you know, this, in areas where it's black dominant and speaking a different language. And I'm okay with sending people, you know, of different races and so forth, so that if they happen to escape, they're going to stick out like a sore thumb. They can't hide in the populace. You know, like here in America, if you escape, it's pretty hard to find these people, especially if you don't have, you know, Big Brother and all of these things. We don't want that here. What we want is we want to have a civil society, and we want to have a trusting society where we don't have Big Brother. So I believe outsourcing, and if these guys come up for, you know, an opportunity for a retrial or, you know, something stupid when they shouldn't be getting it anyway, well, that can be all done virtually now. Back in those days, they didn't have the ability to do virtual trials. We do now. There's no reason why that punk, that, like I said, that vile creature needs to be in the same room with the victims and everything else. I think it's okay for that person to sit there virtually with their lawyer sitting and representing them, because that's what they're doing in court anyway. They can't outburst, and if they do, nobody sees it. Nobody sees the animal actually beginning to act. So in some ways, that might be better for that person if they can't control themselves, because anybody, I'm sure the jury would probably look, you know, less favorable upon that person that acts like an animal, right? Okay, so anyway, the next thing, and I've talked about this before, I've said this several times, the states need to define who the term press actually is at the state level regarding the state and its constitution. And as far as I'm concerned, they need to define the press as the people, that the people are the ones capable of doing reporting and actually witnessing and accounting for things that are going on locally. Now, there's no difference between, you know, a conservative that has, you know, their own bias to what NPR is doing, because NPR and some of these leftist organizations have come right out and said, hey, we are going to slant the media and our reporting in a very specific way. So to be clear, I can understand that. I want you to understand, ideologically, people are wired so hard that that's what they're going to do. There's so few people that are objective anymore that we need to allow the freedom of all slants to come out on all platforms. In other words, if Facebook starts censoring, because see, they have their own reporters and their own bias and their own slant, and they're saying that their fact checkers are, you know, what do they call that? Can't be, you know, they're irrefutable, or they cannot be expunged, or not expunged, impugned. There we go. Their integrity is, so well that they, you know, you can't impugn their integrity because they behave so well. They're so good. I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree. And as a matter of fact, the fact that they have fact checkers, what that means is they have a censorship board. And so states can start making laws that say you cannot censor any of any citizen in our state. If you censor them and you hold them back regardless of any level, in other words, if they're reporting and they have friends that are in other nations or in other states, you can't censor them so that people will know what the truth is, what's going on in this state, that the people are the press. you make the people depressed, then you've just changed the paradigm away from social media and social media's control. Because if you make it so that the people or the freedom of the press must be retained, that platforms cannot censor the press or the people, then it's synonymous. And now you make it illegal for them because now we've put it into context that we the people are we the press, that we are reporting, we see things, and we are letting people know what's going on. They have no right to be able to censor, to be able to take information, either label it as incorrect or block it altogether and actually remove you, or basically, what do they call that, put you in jail for 30 days because of, you know, community standards. That's crap. As a matter of fact, let your community dictate what the community standards are for your community, but not the platform itself. If they want to be a platform, they want to operate that way, then we need to go after them. And this is one way to do that. And so you make it illegal for any platform to do censorship. And you fine and punish. This is the last part. You fine and punish the platform and the employees responsible for the policies, as well as the removal. Now, as we've heard, we've been, you know, kind of marred by an overwhelming amount of false accusations. And so I honestly believe that states need to take the scripture and inject it into their legal system. In other words, let me read the scripture. This is Old Testament. This is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 19, and we go 16 through 19, just in case you want to write that down. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days. So, in other words, but we're okay with changing this. Just, they have to stand in front of the court. They have to stand in front of a local judge, a magistrate, the sheriff, or what have you. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, after full investigation, after full disclosures done, like what happened to that senator in the South, what's happened to so many different politicians that they get last minute, they throw out this bad information that gives everybody, oh, we can't vote for that person. And next thing you know, they don't get elected and somebody else gets elected. Well, the person that threw that out would then, okay, so, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put away evil from among you. So these women that came out and said, oh, he raped me, you know, like the Kavanaugh or any of these types of things, who says, you know, he did these things and it's proven that he didn't do those things, then those women go to jail for rape, because that's what they were claiming. Do you think this would solve the problem? This would solve, I would say, the majority of the problems. You're still going to get ideologues that'll venture out and do what they feel they can get away with. Because bottom line, people are going to try to get away with what people want to get away with. But I'm telling you, you know, we're going to be having these issues for a long, long time, but this will get rid of most of them. It will get rid of the wokeness. It will get rid of the Me Too. It will get rid of this kind of crap that we're seeing. So anyway, so that kind of wraps up this, you know, the Bill of Rights. So if you've got something more, if you think that we need to inject more in protecting property rights, civil rights, these types of things, and as a matter of fact, one of the things we need to inject in here is I would like to see the Bill of Rights 1 through 8 and maybe even 1 through 9 actually injected into every state constitution. I don't think states need to assert their rights of the 10th Amendment to themselves, but I do believe that they should be protecting their citizens So that things that are not are that are enumerated does not necessarily mean that they can or can be construed of taking away the rights of others, like the Ninth Amendment. Anyway, we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as I said, this wraps up the Bill of Rights for the 2022 campaign. What we want to do is we want to have an overwhelming appeal to people who want their rights preserved. I'm going to tell you, there are Democrats that want to see their rights preserved. They don't like what they're seeing. Some of them kind of remember, hey, this thing called freedom that we fought for in the 60s, supposedly, and the anti-establishment has gone out the window. I'm a hypocrite. So some of them are starting to wake up. And I believe that this transcends most all parties, that most people would want to embrace individual liberty and individual sovereignty. So if you got any ideas, because we just went through 15 of them, that was 15 different ideas or different things that we can campaign on collectively and demand. And what we're going to do is, as you understand, we're bringing First Amendment petitions to the table on this. We're going to use First Amendment petitions right now. We're going to, as a matter of fact, it's on the petition page. It's at the very, very top. The first petition for the 2022 election, because this is all about going after your governor, as any governor that has actually denied you of your civil rights, constitutionally protected rights as a U.S. citizen, they can't do it. So we want you to go after them, but we want you to go after them via your county commissioners. They take an oath of office that they will support the Constitution. Why is it that they have sat on their hands and not gone after the governor by going to the state legislature and demanding the state legislature stop this tyranny? And because they haven't done that, you need to petition them to do this. And you need to educate them on the First Amendment petition. And that if they fail, you're going to demand, because this is where you pay some serious taxes. You pay property taxes based on the county assessments and so forth. And we want them to know that, hey, there's something built into this First Amendment petition that if they don't respond, we can start going after our taxes legally. And so here we go with, an actual attack on any of those potential rhinos that aren't willing to stand up for their constitutional rights. And what we want to do is identify them in the election, and we're going to stand right up every time they're in front of a crowd, a town hall meeting, and say, look, we petitioned you. You were supposed to support your oath of office and go after the governor through the state legislature. If you're in a red county, that's not going to bode well. These people will not get reelected, especially if you have a challenger that says, I will listen to the people. I am a representative of the people and would be glad to be their mouthpiece going into the state legislature and representing everybody in this county. Done. I'm telling you, people would be done with these, you know, two-timing politicians that think that they can make compromise, that their bread and butter in politics. It's no more. No more compromise. Compliance, 100% compliance to the law. Now, August 13th, I know this has been a while, but the DHS had sent out a bulletin, and this is August 13th's bulletin, and this goes, it will expire as of November 11th this year, but this is interesting why it's expiring, and it's even more interesting of what they're pointing at. They're saying, the summary of the, and why is this expiring in November? What happens on November 11th? That's Veterans Day, right? Summary of the terrorism threat to the United States homeland. The Secretary of Homeland Security has issued a new National Terrorism Advisory System, NTAS, bulletin regarding the current heightened threat environment across the United States. The homeland continues to face a diverse and challenging threat environment leading up to and following the 20th anniversary of September 11, 2001 attacks, as well as religious holidays we assess could serve as a catalyst for acts of targeted violence. These threats include those posed by domestic terrorists, individuals and groups engaged in grievance-based violence, and those in, so all you have to do is be grievance-based, and then, well, shoot, you've made half the profile. And those inspired or motivated by foreign terrorists and other malign foreign influences. These actors are increasingly exploiting online forums to influence and spread violent extremists narratives and promote violent activities. This means they're going after BLM? Heck no. Are you kidding me? They're giving them the red carpet and making sure that all sorts of corporations are donating to them. Anyway, such threats are also exacerbated by impacts of the ongoing global pandemic, including grievances over public health safety measures and perceived government restrictions. Now, this is going to be ratcheted up, I believe, in November, because the mandates are coming. Additional details. Through the remainder of 2021, racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, RMVEs, and anti-government, so anti-government and anti-authority violent extremists, so hold it, anti-authority. If you tell me that the federal government has the authority to dictate education, transportation, energy, and all these other things, well, of course, we know that those are unconstitutional, but they're going to tell me that I'm anti-government and anti-authority? No, but that's how they label you. And so as I look at it, they're anti-constitution, if you know what I mean. Anyway, extremists will remain a national threat prior to the United States, or a priority to the United States. These extremists may seek to exploit the emergence of COVID-19 variants by viewing the potential reestablishment of public health restrictions across the United States as a rationale to conduct acts. Pandemic-related stressors have contributed to increased societal strains and tensions, driving several plots by domestic violent extremists, and that they may contribute to more violence this year. Now, as you know me, I'm the one that's calling you to actually go and actually use the First Amendment petition, not to protest, not to rally. Don't do those things. Additionally, leading up to the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, Al-Qaeda and the Arabian Peninsula recently released its first English-language copy of Inspire magazine in over 4 years, which demonstrates that foreign terrorist organizations continue efforts to inspire U.S.-based individuals susceptible to violent extremist influences. Historical mass casualty domestic violence extremist attacks linked to RMVEs, and what's the RMVE? That is the racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, have targeted houses of worship and crowded commercial facilities or gatherings. Some RMVEs advocate via online platforms for a race war and have stated that civil disorder provides opportunities to engage in violence in furtherance of the ideological objectives. The reopening of institutions, including school, as well as several dates of religious significance over the next few months, could also provide increased targets of opportunity for violence, though there are currently no credible or imminent threats identified for these locations. So why are they ratcheting? There's nothing there, but they're still ratcheting up. I mean, that's what they just said. There's no credible or imminent threats identified to these locations, but they're doing this. What they want you to do is they want you to start. Actually, what they want is they want the mass public to look at anybody who's questioning their authority, the veracity of what they're saying, their constitutionality, putting things in context of the Constitution. If you are challenging them, then they want everybody else to look at you as an extremist. Foreign and domestic threat actors, to include foreign intelligence services, international terrorist groups, and domestic violence extremists, continue to introduce, amplify, and disseminate narratives online that promote violence and have called for violence against elected officials, political representatives, government facilities, law enforcement, religious communities, or commercial facilities, and perceived ideological opposed individuals. There are also continued nonspecific calls for violence on multiple online platforms associated with DVE. Now, I don't know what the DVE is because they created an acronym and I don't remember seeing it. But anyway, ideologies or conspiracy theories on perceived election fraud and alleged reinstatement and responses. Oh, ideologies or conspiracy theories on perceived election fraud and alleged reinstatement of Trump and responses to anticipated restrictions relating to the increasing COVID cases. Ideologically motivated violent extremists fueled by personal grievances and extremist ideological beliefs continue to derive inspiration and obtain operational guidance through the consumption of information shared in certain online communities. This includes information regarding the use of improvised explosive devices and small arms. Violent extremists may use particular messaging platforms or techniques to obscure operational indicators that provide specific warning of a pending act of violence. My friends, this is all just demagoguery and, as far as I'm concerned, rhetoric. You know, we have rights of religious expression and freedom of speech. They can't pass any law. And now they're telling us that they're monitoring us for whatever it is we happen to say. We have rights, and when we hit the December 17th, we'll all start understanding them when we read the Constitution. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then
we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.